Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's 5 minutes past 8 a.m. in Bonn, same time in Nigeria's federal capital, Abuja, but 9:05 in Lusaka, Zambia. Good morning and thank you for joining me on this edition of Africa Link. I'm Crispin Mwakideu. Coming up, Nigeria's President Goodluck Jonathan has officially declared his 2015 presidential bid. Now he faces a frustrated electorate.
Many Nigerians are of the opinion that President Jonathan and his party do not have what it takes to guarantee lives and properties of Nigerians, and this is a very serious issue.
Morocco is disqualified from next year's Africa Cup of Nations for not wanting to host the tournament due to Ebola fears. This football analyst suggests possible hosts.
We haven't been told who the three are, but according to my intuition and suspicion, I strongly feel these three nations could be Nigeria, Ghana, and probably Algeria.
We shall also go down memory lane in this week's Behind the Headlines to see how Germans welcomed Ethiopia's Emperor Haile Selassie. Don't go too far.
Top story.
Time for promises. Nigeria's President Goodluck Jonathan promised Nigerians on Tuesday he would fight corruption and defeat the Boko Haram insurgency. Jonathan made the remarks as he announced his bid to win a second term. His widely expected announcement was a formality after he signalled his intentions by picking up nomination papers from his ruling People's Democratic Party, PDP, last month. Ben Shemang reports from Abuja.
Abuja's Eagle Square was full of people with multiple coloured red-green umbrellas, the symbol of the ruling PDP party. They drummed, sang and danced joyfully as they waited for President Goodluck Jonathan to declare himself as a candidate for the election in February next year.
After seeking the face of God in quiet reflection with my family, and after listening to the calls of our people nationwide to run, I, Goodluck Ebele Azikiwe Jonathan, have accepted to present myself.
The president vowed to defeat Boko Haram and improve security in Nigeria. Government critics have often attacked President Jonathan in the past over his inability to stop the terror by the Islamist group. He also came under fire for his lackluster response to the abduction of more than 276 schoolgirls by Boko Haram. Despite the criticisms, the vice president, Nnamdi Sumbo, told the crowd that President Jonathan was the best person to be elected.
I wish to declare that President Jonathan is not only a great boss, but a considerate as well as a listening one who elicits the best of his subordinates. I have had tremendous satisfaction working with him, and I am sure that our colleagues in the presidency and the Federal Executive Council are of the same opinion. I make bold to say our president has led this country well. His transformation agenda is blooming in every sector. Under our beloved president, our country has continued to make remarkable progress.
But Governor Adams Oshumole, a member of the main opposition All Progressive Congress, said that the president has nothing to offer, especially in the area of electricity supply. Nigeria, a major oil producer, is often suffering from power shortages.
To create jobs, we can't have an economy that is generator-driven. And if you made a promise in 1999 to deliver power and you fail, in 2000 you fail, 2011 you fail, 2013 you fail, 2014 you have declined, how can we trust you that we should trust you for 2015? Trust must be earned. It is not awarded.
Nigerians are definitely divided over the performance of President Goodluck Jonathan in the past 5 years.
He has done fairly, and if he's declaring again, maybe he wants to do better by Nigerians. That is what I hope to see.
To me, Jonathan has not done well. He has failed us in terms of security. So he needs to step down for another person to come into the office. Because you can see clean kidnapping there and there, so he has failed us.
It is right to vie for the position again, to declare he has a constitutional right. But I think the issue of security is one of the problems we faced. If he comes back again, I think he needs to deal with that issue. He's okay, but security is it's key in governance. I think he needs to deal with that issue.
Many experts think that President Jonathan is set to be re-elected in February next year. His PDP party is better organized and has more funds than the opposition parties in Africa's biggest economy.
That was a report by Ben Adam Shamang in Abuja. President Jonathan is seen as a strong incumbent despite a number of multi-billion dollar oil scandals and his government's inability so far to end the five-year-old insurgency waged by Boko Haram. Garba Kare is a lecturer of political science at the University of Abuja. I asked him whether Nigerians can trust President Jonathan with another mandate.
Well, this is a very difficult question to ask. A declaration to contest for an election is one thing, and getting the approval of Nigerians is another thing. Declaration is an intention, and after the intention, the president must submit himself to the political process. And depending on the outcome, he may succeed or not. But as it is now, it is quite difficult to give a categorical answer whether the president is going to enjoy another mandate from Nigerians or not. So it is like a situation of a pregnant woman, anything can happen.
The president's political burden ahead of the poll is undoubtedly the Boko Haram insurgency, particularly the missing Chibok girls. How do you see this affecting Jonathan's bid?
Well, to me, it is just one of it. Another thing is the culture of impunity that appears to be gathering momentum in the country, and yet another issue that the president is going to face is the issue of corruption. But if we go back to the issue of security, security of life and property, I think, is one of the basic functions of government. Governments all over the world and throughout history are formed in order to guarantee and maintain the lives and properties of the people. And where a government appears not to have the capacity and the capability to discharge the responsibility, then there is a problem. As I'm talking to you now, an entire section of the country is under siege from the Boko Haram insurgents. A large chunk of territory is under their control, and hundreds of thousands of people have become refugees in their own country. This is a very serious issue. Many Nigerians are of the opinion that President Jonathan and his party do not have what it takes to guarantee lives and properties of Nigerians, and this is a very serious issue. It's an issue that neither Jonathan nor his party have given a very good explanation to. And things are getting worse and worse as we are nearing the election. And the issue of the Chibok girls has really shown the incapacity of the federal government and even the Nigerian armed forces to tackle a problem. It has embarrassed Nigeria as a nation and Nigerians as a people.
Talking of Boko Haram and the way they've been gaining more ground recently, we really don't know whether elections will be held in those territories that they control. But if the government happens to retake some of these areas before the election, will it work for or against President Jonathan?
Well, it is extremely difficult to hold election in a territory that is under siege, a territory where insurgents appear to exercise unbridled control, where they are able to strike at will. It will be very, very difficult for the people to come out. And second, as you said, if the Nigerian armed forces are able to detect the territory, well, it will be a good thing. But so far, there is no indication that they are capable of doing that. And that is actually the biggest problem. So we do not know whether it is really possible for the Nigerian military to detect the territory before the elections. We are talking about February, which is just about 3 months from now.
Lecturer of Political Science at the University of Abuja, Dr. Garba Kare.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
Turning the page. Zambians go to the polls in the next 3 months to elect a new president following the death of its leader, Michael Sata. The ruling Patriotic Front and the opposition are expected to announce their presidential candidates for the election slated for January 2015. The country's Electoral Commission says plans are already underway to hold the presidential by-election, but as Kathy Sikombe reports, many are hoping for a peaceful transition.
According to the Zambian constitution, the interim acting president, Guy Scott, can be expected to rule the country until the election of the new president in 3 months' time. Scott was born in Zambia but to Scottish parents, and for that reason he cannot run for presidency under the current constitution. The ruling party's central committee is set to meet this Thursday to select a presidential candidate. Local media reports cite the party's Secretary General, Edgar Lungu, who is also Minister of Defense and Acting Justice Minister, as a favorite. The other likely contender is the Finance Minister, Alexander Chikwanda, who was also Sata's uncle. On Tuesday, Lungu warned that the Patriotic Front is not for sale to the highest bidder, but will continue to pursue Sata's vision of a better and democratic Zambia.
Our values in the Patriotic Front have been passed on to us by our great leader, whom we are putting to rest today. It is therefore our duty to ensure that President Michael Sata's wishes for Zambia are realized. This is essentially and truly the honor we can give President Sata. Indeed, President Sata, while he lived, was the glue that held the party together.
The Electoral Commission has scheduled the election in January, but reports say that the Electoral Commission is currently having financial challenges, claims that the organization denies. Chris Akufuna is a spokesperson of the Zambian Electoral Commission.
We are getting ready. We are putting together our budget. We have prepared and submitted to the Treasury. And this week, we should perhaps consult with regular organs in relation to the actual date of the elections.
Emma Mwinga is a political analyst. For her, a peaceful transition is a key factor to the country's stability and development.
We need a peaceful transition of power from whoever is going to be from the current, you know, government that's there and whoever is going to be there. Why am I showing peace? Because we have seen what war has done to many countries. When countries fight, you know, the people that suffer the most are women. So we need just the continuity of peace in this nation, irrespective of whichever leader comes in.
I also spoke to some Zambians on the streets of Lusaka about their expectations for the new president.
To come and unite the nation and also to ensure that the sustainability of the resources are being lended to every corner of the nation.
Another Lusaka resident, Trevor Mwansa, had this to say.
Well, it's kind of hectic. It's difficult to determine who will take it up, but it might be a chance for maybe after the 30-day thing for Hakainde to take in. I'm not sure about how the PF are going to sort out their situation, because I feel there's a divided line. Others would love Edgar Lungu to go on, others would love Guy Scott. So, but at the end of the day, as Zambians, the only thing we want is peace. So regardless of the outcome, we still hope for the best.
The late Zambian president, Michael Sata, led Zambia since 2011 after unsuccessfully running for president in 3 previous elections. He drew much of his support from the rural poor and unemployed youths in a country where about 61% of the population of 40 million lives on less than $1 a day.
A report by DW correspondent Kathy Sikombe in Lusaka.
Behind the headlines.
60 years ago, what was then West Germany, with its provisional capital right here in Bonn, was still seeking to emerge from early post-war isolation after the end of the Nazi era. The first visit by a foreign head of state to West Germany in 1954 was therefore something of an occasion. And that foreign head of state was an African emperor, Haile Selassie of Ethiopia. Didem Tali takes us behind the headlines of 60 years ago.
It was an unusual sight for the Germans in the mid-50s. Emperor Haile Selassie wore an elaborate uniform, complete with a helmet adorned with the hair of a black lion. This was a significant, if not a historic, visit. But at that time, the government of West Germany was anxious not to overdo the pomp and ceremony. The country had internal problems of its own, and an outward display of luxury would have been considered inappropriate. But West German authorities wanted to ensure that the royal guest felt at home. And so the protocol committee bought elephants and camels from a traveling circus for the reception of the Ethiopian monarch. However, it turned out that he was more interested in thoroughbred horses, though German officials didn't know this, and he visited a number of stud farms. Haile Selassie had come to West Germany not to beg for assistance, but as a partner. Even then, diplomatic relations between Germany and Ethiopia had already existed for 50 years. His people referred to him officially as God's Chosen One, Power of Trinity, Victorious Lion from the Tribe of Judah. The world's last absolute monarch had come to visit West German hospitals and steelworks. He wanted to see how he could bring the technical achievements of the West to his empire on the Horn of Africa. After meeting with Federal President Theodor Heuss and Federal Chancellor Konrad Adenauer, the emperor also faced the press. In those days, Germany was divided and in the front line of the Cold War between East and West. Seeking through an interpreter, Haile Selassie sidestepped controversy.
His Majesty has noted that fortunately enough, the problem of the Cold War does not exist in his country. He therefore does not wish to make any specific statement about this question.
But there was another side to Haile Selassie. On a short trip to Hamburg, before opening a hospital, he surprised passerbys by handing out gold coins. West Germans faced a figure from a dynasty that had ruled over 3,000 years. Despite the winds of change blowing in Africa at the time, Selassie was firmly on his throne. He was supported by an alibi parliament and advised solely by the Orthodox high priest, Abuna. His daily routine in Addis Ababa was marked by prayers and fasting, and conversations were conducted in whispers. Almost 20 years later, the Ethiopian monarch returned to West Germany for a second visit on September 12, 1973. Chancellor Willy Brandt entertained his guests extravagantly. This was while hundreds of thousands of Ethiopians were suffering from desperate food shortages. The revolt was in the air. Rumors of corruption, nepotism, and self-enrichment circulated in the court. Exactly 1 year after this meeting, new military leaders in Addis Ababa deposed the emperor. He died a year later in a small palace room, aged 83. The circumstances of his death are unclear to this day.
Didem Tali reporting. Red card for Morocco. The North African nation has been dropped as host of next year's Africa Cup of Nations and its national side disqualified from the competition. These decisions were taken by the African Football Confederation after Morocco said it wanted to postpone the tournament due to fears over the Ebola epidemic. With Morocco out of the picture, which country can rescue the situation by hosting Africa's biggest sporting event? Mark Caldwell has been speaking to Zambian sports analyst Lawrence Lihusha.
As we are talking, I have to put it quite clearly that there are three countries that we are told have actually expressed interest to host the tournament now that it's officially been confirmed that the Atlas Lions of Morocco will not be able to host the tournament. Now, we haven't been told who the three are, but according to my intuition and suspicion, I strongly feel these three nations could be Nigeria, Ghana, and probably Algeria. You will agree with me that Algeria, not too long ago, just a few weeks ago, about a month ago, had bid to host the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament, but they were unsuccessful. Now, as much as they were bidding, if anything, Algeria were considered to be the country that had their facilities in place, had infrastructure in place, more advanced than most of the other African countries. But Unfortunately, there hasn't been turned away. If anything, it seemed as though Algeria were a country that were most undone, unlike Zambia and other countries that failed in the bidding process. Now, the other reason why I suspect it could also be Nigeria is due to the fact that Nigeria have come out quite open to say that they've written to the Confederation of African Football expressing interest to also take up the offer. Ghana are also in pole position to probably take up the offer.
What has been the reaction in African football to this decision to drop Morocco? What are players, fans, managers saying?
It's a little bit disappointing, but all in all, it's been a mixed reaction. There are those that are for the idea and there are those that are against the idea. Those that are for the idea believe the Ebola pandemic is certainly wreaking havoc. So Morocco took up that decision on advice from the World Health Organization, WHO, who were against the idea to host major gatherings or tournaments due to the risk factors that the Ebola epidemic can pose, considering that some of the fans that will be traveling to the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations tournament are coming from Ebola-affected countries.
If the tournament had been postponed, what would have been the financial implications?
On the part of Morocco, really, financial implications are not as much, considering this is a Moroccan nation that is hosting the fifth Club World Cup, which probably has more clout, if you may ask, than the Africa Cup of Nations tournament. So they've got nothing to lose. So when you look at it on a balance of scale, I think the Confederation of African Football, CAF, have more to lose than Morocco, considering an opportunity that Morocco have in hosting the FIFA Club World Cup in a few weeks' time, where European champions Real Madrid will certainly be there. So in terms of financial gain, I think Morocco will certainly gain more hosting the FIFA Club World Cup than the Africa Cup of Nations tournament. I know a counter-argument might be, what about the issue of hotel accommodation, the influx of tourists, you know, considering that the Africa Cup of Nations is a much bigger tournament, but it's all about the clout. What about TV revenue? What about TV? And so on and so forth. I think the FIFA Club World Cup, on a balance of scale, it will probably be more of an attractive venture for somebody that will want to advertise on games being televised on television than the Africa Cup of Nations tournament, which is solely just focused on the African continent.
The tournament starts on January the 17th. What is the latest date for the nomination of a replacement for Morocco?
The official communique coming through from the CAF Executive Committee meeting that took place this afternoon in Cairo, Egypt, is that by tomorrow, which is Wednesday, the Confederation of African Football will announce the next host nation for the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations tournament. And believe you me, I may be proved wrong by tomorrow. One of these three will be announced as the host nation. That's either Nigeria, Ghana or Algeria.
Zambian sports analyst Lawrence Lihusha.
Opinion.
Now, this week's opinion takes us back to our top story. Nigeria's president, Goodluck Jonathan, has declared his intention to run again for office. But he faces a formidable opposition which has not yet named its presidential candidate. And now the question is, what chances does President Jonathan have in defeating an opposition candidate? Send us your opinion by a text message to +491609575950. That's +491609575950. An email to feedback.africa@dw.de or a letter to Africa Link DW 53110 Bonn, Germany.
Listen to Africa Link whenever you want. Sign up for our podcast at dw.de/Africa Link Podcast.
And before we leave you, a reminder of our main stories. Nigeria's President Goodluck Jonathan has entered the presidential election race by promising to tackle corruption and end Boko Haram's insurgency. And another presidential election is also scheduled for January 2015 in Zambia after the death of President Michael Sata. And Morocco will not host next year's Africa Cup of Nations and its national team has been disqualified from the competition. And that's it from me. More African stories on our page, dw.de/Africa. I'm Crispin Mwakideu. Have a peaceful Wednesday.